One of my favorite bumper stickers of all time says, "There is no secular world. There is no secular world. We can't divide the world into sacred and secular. That is an unnatural division. With all of its pain and joy, violence and kindness, tragedy and wonder, the world is sacred." One of my favorite hymns, St. Patrick's Breastplate, is an early Celtic Christian expression of the sacredness of creation. This is attributed to St. Patrick, the 4th century Bishop of Ireland, and the words in that hymn reveal an understanding of the Trinity surrounding and supporting us through the glories of creation, the human community, and the saving acts of God in Christ Jesus. And that hymn is about 7 verses long, so it's not very often sung in church anymore. Mm-hmm. But it begins with, "I bind unto myself today the strong name of the Trinity." This morning in the reading from Proverbs, we hear, it is the voice of wisdom we hear, speaking of the creation of the earth. "When the Lord marked out the foundations of the earth, then was I beside him like a master worker, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world and delighting in the human race." Wisdom is feminine in the Hebrew scriptures, and is also an aspect of the Holy Spirit. Because of this, some scholars, like Elizabeth Johnson, the author of She Who Is, speak of the Holy Spirit as she. Some years ago, when I was in Atlanta, I led a women's spirituality group, and we discussed that book. We did lots of books, but after we read She Who Is together, there was a whole row of women in that church who every time we said the creed would say she for the Spirit. They're probably still doing that. So today is Trinity Sunday. And if you enjoy Zen koans or string theory in physics, you may enjoy trying to fathom the mystery of the Trinity. How can one be three and three be one? It's really impossible for us to find adequate language to describe the Trinity. And it's certainly not for lack of trying. There are hundreds, if not thousands, of books, theological treatises, and arguments written about the Trinity. The creeds were written by the early church fathers in the 4th century in order to put some language about humans' experience of God. It was clear by that time that people experienced God in 3 major ways: God as creator, God as redeemer, and God as wisdom or sanctifying spirit. So today our lessons for Trinity Sunday remind us that God dwells in mystery. But in this mystery of the Trinity, we can see one thing above all. God is relationship. There is relationship at the very heart of God's being. God the Father, or the Creator, God the Son, the Redeemer, and God the Holy Spirit, bound together by love. Meister Eckhart, medieval German mystic, writes this of the Trinity. "Do you want to know what goes on in the core of the Trinity? I will tell you. In the core of the Trinity, the Father laughs and gives birth to the Son. The Son laughs back at the Father and gives birth to the Spirit. The whole Trinity laughs and gives birth to us." Eckhart paints for us a joyful divine dance of laughter at the dawn of creation and in the heart of God. God is relationship. For me, that's the most important thing about the Trinity. At the very heart of God's being is this relationship. We can't really understand it, but we've got the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all in relationship. And because we are all made in God's image, we are all made in and for relationship. We are created for relationship with each other and relationship with God. We are living in a time in our country when many of our leaders have forgotten that all are made in God's image. When policies are tearing families apart, tearing at the very fabric of our communities, taking from the poor and giving to the very rich. As my teacher, Cynthia Bourgeau, says, evil happens when people allow their conscience to be overridden. Evil happens when people allow their conscience to be overridden. It is our call as Christian people to keep our consciences alive and awake so that we are ready to act when we can, however we can, to be salt and light and leaven in this broken world. And we can do this only by abiding in God. As the Apostle Paul wrote, and we also heard this morning, hope does not disappoint us because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. Paul tells us that this hope comes out of suffering and endurance and character forged in that suffering through our endurance. The kind of hope that Paul is talking about is the hope that lives in our hearts no matter what the outer circumstances. This hope is the communion with God, the indwelling love of God in our very hearts. So hope does not disappoint us, as Paul says. We do not lose hope. We cannot lose hope because we can never fall out of God's love. I end with a collect for Trinity Sunday written by Janet Morley. O God, our mystery, you bring us to life, call us to freedom, and move between us with love. May we so participate in the dance of your Trinity that our lives may resonate with you now and forever. Amen.
I'm not worried.